In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I read Word of God from the first epistle of Peter, from chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, now have obtained mercy." Amen. During the opening services, we heard that Jesus called Peter to be his disciple and to work of God's kingdom. And he promised to make this fisherman a fisherman of men. Apostle Peter has been written much about in the Gospels and in the Acts, and he has written a couple of these two letters here in the Bible. When we follow Peter's life as a disciple, there are much to learn from for us. I have many times thought that if in my own life of faith, if there might be something marvelous, then if God would show his power in my life, it would be easier to believe. When we follow Peter's life, we see when he was there when Jesus taught and when Jesus made all those miracles, and he said that Jesus is a son of God. When Jesus asked Peter said that you are Christ, the son of the holy God. But on Peter, even though Peter had this experience, the knowledge, and he was very, very good at what he did, but he also grew up in his own endeavor. He grew better than the other disciples. And when Jesus foresaw his death, and Peter said, even if All else forsake you. I won't forsake you, said Peter, and I am ready to go to death for you. And then we can see how, after Peter had been caught, when Peter, when the servant girl asked that, ain't you one of those disciples of Jesus? Peter said that, I don't know this man. I have thought many times. There is much to learn for us. From Peter's heart, there was no childlike faith. There was no trust in Jesus' atonement work, and he trusted in his own power. And like this, he went to shipwreck in his faith. But Peter had the grace to return. But from Epistle of John, from the last chapter, we can read how Peter spoke to Peter. And he told Peter to feed his sheep and feed his flock and guide his sheep also. And like this, Peter went to do the work of God's kingdom. And when we read this letter, Peter here is feeding and guiding the congregations in Asia Minor. He was guiding these new believers in Asia Minor. And when we think what was the goal of Peter, when these people had received the grace of repentance from Gentiles or from Jews, Peter wanted to strengthen their faith. Peter wanted that they would remain believers. Here our text is very full of teaching, and it's a very beautiful description. There's much guidance and also good verse of what it's like to be a follower of Christ. On the third verse, in the third chapter, if indeed have you tasted that the Lord is gracious, have your dear service guest, have you tasted in your heart that Lord is gracious? Peter says that if indeed you have tasted, it means that not everyone has tasted the Lord's graciousness. There are those people who have heard the word of God, but this word of God hasn't become true in their hearts. In their hearts, there's anxiousness and fear. And God feels like grateful and fearful. God feels like he's demanding and he judges. People like this, if there's someone who hears, if someone's here in the service tent or the service area or the radio, if there's people like who don't feel that in your heart that Lord is gracious, you have right now able to taste. You can now believe all your sins in Jesus' name and blood and rejoice of this graciousness and great atonement work that Jesus has done for you when he has given his own life, shed his own blood for my sake and for your sake also. Like this, every child of God who has heard this gospel's word, that you are able to believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Every time when he hears and he knows that in his heart, he knows that Lord is gracious. As we have heard and learned, and when I think of my own life, I've been able to be a believer from my childhood, and I have been able to live in a believing home. There have I been taught, and I have felt, tasted God's graciousness. When as a little boy I did bad things, and I did bad things. Well, dad or mama reached my sins forgiven. I felt the graciousness of the Lord. In my own life, I've been able to feel, even to this day, Lord's graciousness. And this good news I want to bring to everyone who are seeking. And when we think that it's in this good news, in the epistle, if we walk in the light, as he walks in the light, Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sin. And when we hear a gospel word, we can believe all sins are forgiven. But on the other hand, we can explore our own hearts. If we know that we have done something wrong, this gospel gives us strength to put away wrong things. Like that, gospel is very powerful. Like Peter here in the beginning of this epistle, there he says, lay all aside all malice. And if you have tasted the Lord's graciousness, we have the will to put aside, lay all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. When I think this portion in our text, I want to ask, has this been a theoretical thing in my life, a good to know thing, or has it had a concrete meaning in my life? As I told that I have been able to be raised up in a believing home. There, I was able to experience that when we make things right, there everything all right. My grandmother, through her own experience, taught us. She was asking us children to proclaim, and she also proclaimed the gospel to us. Likewise, my mother and father. But especially when I was in high school age, and I can also say, and that time I was smoking, and a familiar man had spoken about me, and he wasn't very pleased that I was doing smoke. But and this man came to me and asked that if he could believe could he have been forgiven this ill speaking that he had done about me? I proclaimed gospel to him, and I have been praying that in my own life that I could be able to do things like this, that I would be able to repair things that I have done wrong. But I'm very fond to remember how this older man came to put things right. When we think about living as a child of God and journeying as a life of God, we have will to set aside. Peter approached that how we can lay aside all evil. It's not a basis for our righteousness, but our righteousness is founded that we are believers of living gospel. We can feel that Jesus' atonement blood is my salvation, but it brings a will to journey as a child of God. Here is also written, also envy. I don't know if envy is very familiar thing to you, but for me, envy is very familiar. A human's mind, it always thinks things could be better, and it compares our lives to others. And Pearson's mind comes poisoned. But one older lady said, as we heard many times, when she was asked how it's going, she said, it's going well if you don't compare. When we think deeply this teaching, we realize we have thoughts of envy. And sometimes we maybe have reason to envy. We can also think that we wouldn't feed our heart enviness. That we would want and we would pray that we would be content to what God gives us today. We can do work and endeavor that we would achieve something that God has decreed on us. When we think this Peter's teaching, it's very important for us, for every one of us. Together with those who are near to us, it's very important in our families that father and mother ask forgiveness from each other, and the children ask forgiveness from each other and from parents. I remember very clearly when mother came to read an evening prayer and proclaimed gospel to us. It was the graciousness of the Lord for a young boy. Like that, I've been able to be perceived as a child of God. We are able to pray that in our families, we would have the strength to ask forgiveness and to forgive. Last evening, when we left this service tent, there was quite a storm outside, and it came to my mind that many times in our families, there is a storm between persons. There are bad words. For me, there has been many storms like this. As we can see, weather became clear. It's easy. It's good time to ask forgiveness. to ask forgiveness for my bad words and my bad deeds. And it brings to the family love, joy, and happiness. And in believing families, we have been able to feel. One thing also, many times we work in we work with unbelieving people. I myself have been pensioner for 10 years. So many times I came across things that spoke to me. This is a very strong experience. I've done wrong to one of my co-workers, unbelieving co-worker. You know how it goes when you do something wrong or another. Yes, quite hard to do business with that person. I went to the services. I listened to God's word. And then in the services, there was that how good is to set aside evil and repair things. I had to pray much that I could have the strength to go to my coworker and speak about this thing and ask forgiveness. And he said, and he promised to forgive me. It had a very special effect. Our relationship became better, and God blessed our relationship, and we did many, many projects, and we had, and trust returned between us. As a children of God, we are able to pray that if we have things like this, that we could have strength. It's very powerful work of God's kingdom. And things like this can happen in unbeliever's life. When someone comes and asks forgiveness, everybody can feel that this doesn't come from human need, or it comes from deeper. Its strength is not in the strength of a man. When we think our time, very we have very many good ways of social media. That is not a bad thing, but that is a bad thing that me and the youth, we are able to pray and ask Heavenly Father that in social media, that how we use social media would be according to God's word. During the social media, man can find everything evil from this world. And when we go to this world, this journey, our heart becomes burdened. And teachings of God's kingdom become murky. It's important to that if you have come to work to wrong sides, or when you hear God's word, you can set aside things like this also in Jesus' name and blood. but gospel gives strength to set things right. You have a possibility to go to a confession brother or mother, where there you can tell about these bad things. So you have strength to set aside those things. It also says that desire the pure milk of the bird as newborn babes. These are speaks very lovely about hearing of God's word. He compares God's word to newborn baby. Like a newborn baby needs milk, he needs word of God. And we know that if newborn baby doesn't get mother's milk in a form or another, he will perish. So same thing is for child of God. It's very important that we come to services, and it's important that we go to our home science services. When he had these corona times, many people stopped going to services, and we all should pray that our own place in the services or our home Zion would be full, and we would be able to hear God's word in our home congregations, that we could also speak with other believers. At the end of our text about a living stone, it's also spoken about cornerstone. Children of God want to be built upon God's word and upon Christ's atonement work. Therefore, we come to services, and that's why we have come to these services too, that we would be able to hear this living word of God. As Peter writes here, that you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. When we think about this teaching, Antti Raisala, he testamented his own he prayed that if even a one person could be saved through his sacrifice. And when we think about I don't think that Antti Raisala would have known that there would be 20,000 people here listening God's word, and that we would be here to learn and believe. And we think about the office of work. Next year, there's about 200 new pupils. In teachings in Opisto, there we wrote our youth to the kingdom of God. It's good thing in that time of life when a young person is seeking direction for his life and is looking for his own strengths and thinking what he would do in the future. This Christian rearing that is done here in Opista. It's very important. Peter also writes here. That this chief cornerstone has become a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. When you think about this time and how Peter teaches here that we should build God's congregation and God's kingdom, and that man has to repent that he could one day come to heaven. This is the rock of offense, a stone of stumbling. From what we are, sometimes we feel stone. But we, as the children of God, we proclaim this gospel. We also proclaim that even those who become offended, that God's word might have touched their heart. And one time, God will finish his work. That person like this might have the grace to repent and believe. At the end of our text, people who have been there in the services, they have been able to believe, their sins forgiven, and they believe the gospel. They have able to see that God's word is gracious. Peter says that you are a holy priesthood, holy people. You are his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When we think about our faith and their faith and those people who have been able to repent from that he had believed the gospel, how they might be special people, and they were able to proclaim gospel to every people. But there's a very special mystery of faith. When one believes in sins forgiven, or we can also say that how God opens one's heart to take in God's word. It's a whole change in holy. Before, our heart was ruled by prince of this world, but after repentance, there's Holy Spirit ruling in our heart. And every believer who has been able to feel this gospel's graciousness, he has ability to proclaim to his dear ones and to others the same gospel. This time especially we rejoice. This mission work that has been done in Africa, and we further will rejoice through internet the mission work that is done. Because through internet, some people have heard this gospel word. He has been able to hear that Christ has atoned my sins too. And after a couple of days from other side of the world, there has been a message coming that can I also be proclaiming this word further. We can say that it's especially according to God's word. First, there is a new child of God who has a will to proclaim to this gospel to people near him. When we think about this, we don't even know how widely God's kingdom's work is spreading. But we see in Africa, and there's children of God, there's the same will to have services, to speak God's word, have Sunday schools, Bible classes, have confirmation camps, so that children there might remain children of God. They would have food for their own hearts. Children, even there, are believers. I've been in Africa a couple of times, it is lovely to see that there are a lot of children in services there. It's easy to begin services, to tell the children that your children have the same faith in your heart that as I have. And I am here to bring this faith to your parents, that so they might also receive this childlike faith in their own hearts. In many places in Africa, their people ask how I might find peace in my heart. How might I have my sins forsaken? As children of God, we are proclaiming this gospel forward. In the last verse, there's Peter says, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. As these people that have been able to repent in Asia Minor, they start the journey under grace, like we journey under grace today. And we proclaim this gospel to each other. Even in this sermon, I want to preach you, dear listener, you can believe all your sins, all your doubts, in Jesus' name and blood forgiven. And you can rejoice this great treasure in Jesus' name and blood, all sins forgiven. And rejoice of this great treasure that Christ has made for you. And we can proclaim this gospel in our families and with our dear ones. After God's will, and we can rejoice that God gives us chances to do God's work, as I spoke about mission work. Many people have been part of mission work, but there's also a lot of those who pray for this work. It's most important thing that we would pray for mission work. We also have a chance to donate our own money for this mission work. We can also help God's work this way. I came before you very fearful and very anxious and doubtful. I want to ask, can I believe my own sins forgiven? I want to believe. And every one of you, in Jesus' name and blood, all sins forgiven. You children and youth, and you adults and elderly, you can, in your own hearts, you can take in this blessing. You can feel, you can taste Lord's graciousness. You can believe in your own address, your sins, in Jesus' name and blood, all sins forgiven. We can enter these services with this good news from God. In Jesus' name, amen.